My name's Marie J, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, one day at a time, by the grace of God. Hi, it's so good to be here. It's so good to be asked to do this, and I would like to thank the committee because, oh my gosh, these things are so hard to put on. And I know some people think that speaking is hard to put on, but I'd much rather speak than have to put on one of these things. So, committee, way to go. Way to go. And I'd like to just, I really just want to say hello and welcome to newcomers, and also say what courage it takes to be here and what courage it takes for people who are in relapse or who haven't found abstinence yet to be here. And, you know, I just honor you. Oh, God, that probably made a really loud noise. So, and I'd like to invite higher power into this room just to, you know, I don't know where this is going. I have my notes, and I did my study, but God's in charge always. So I am, I'm a serious compulsive overeater, and it took me years to accept that. I didn't even want to call myself a compulsive overeater. You know, I didn't want to go to Overeaters Anonymous. You know, I didn't want to accept that this is my condition. I'm a compulsive overeater. I was 80 pounds heavier than I am now. I was obese. I couldn't walk up the stairs without sidestepping. I was swollen, inflamed. I was eating such garbage. My knees just couldn't function. And look at me today. I mean, by the grace of God and the 12 steps of this program, I am recovered one day at a time. And there's nothing special about me. If I can do it, anybody in this room can have the freedom. Anybody can do it. And I also was in a lot of denial. Denial just runs so thick through my veins as a compulsive overeater. And you know, I would say, well, I'm just big boned. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm a big girl. You know, I exercise all the time. I'm just more muscular. You know, it's bullshit. Oh, sorry. You know what it is I numb myself with food because I can't handle the excessive emotional condition that I am always in because I don't have control. Everything has to be my way. I'm self-righteous. If you get in the way of my agenda, there's going to be hell to pay. I'm a rageaholic. It's all deep buried inside me. And when the food was put down, when I put down the food and got abstinent, all I had left was this broken self and my poor husband and children. Because it got worse before it got better. I had to work the steps after I put the food down. I had to get into looking at clearly these emotional discomforts, this way of controlling life that I was in. I had to look at that and I had to work the steps. And until I worked the steps, I didn't get the freedom. And I'm a big book thumper from the word go. For 3 years, I didn't crack open a big book. I did crack open a big book only to cross out the word God on every page because God had let me down and I was hacked off and I wasn't going to have God in my life. I was going to do this with self-will and self-reliance and God wasn't going to have anything to do with it because he hacked me off and he wasn't going to be a part of this. And so the big book tells me, so that all changed, by the way. It all changed. And so the big book tells me I have a twofold illness. I have an allergy to the body and an obsession of my mind. So there are foods when I start eating them, I can't stop eating them. That's an allergy to the body. I don't react the same way that everybody else reacts to these foods. I have my own list of foods. Those are mine. We figure out what our abstinence is. Some people say, choose your abstinence. But we don't choose our abstinence. We figure out what it is our body is allergic to, and then we eliminate that from our body. We can't work the steps until we figure out what it is that we can't stop eating, and then we go to entire abstinence and stop eating. That's what the big book tells us to do. We have an allergy of the body. We got to stop eating the stuff that we can't stop eating. And then we have an obsessive mind that keeps sending me back to the food that I don't that I can't tolerate, that my body can't tolerate. It sends me back because that's my addiction, to think that I can handle it just one more time. I can't handle it. And so we work the steps. That's the half, second half of what the doctor's opinion tells me. I have an allergy of the body. I have an obsessive mind. We work the steps to let God manage our obsessive mind. And so we have the first step that says I'm powerless and my life is unmanageable. And some people read that as I am powerless over food and the food makes my life unmanageable. And that's another misinterpretation of that step. I'm not, they're separate. I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable whether I have the food or not. I have an unmanageable life because I'm an addict. And my addict mind says there's never enough and I need more and more and more. You're not enough. My husband's not enough. I'm not enough. Nothing is ever enough. And that is my problem. So we have entire abstinence and that's what's needed to get clarity of mind in order to be able to work on this obsessive mind so that we can work the steps and get to recovery. And if I'm not powerless to begin with, if I'm not powerless over food, if I'm not powerless over my mind, I'm playing God. I can't be powerless if I'm in charge of my food. So if I'm choosing what my abstinence is and I can have this a little bit and that a little bit, if I'm making those choices instead of being clear and honest about what I need to look at, then I'm playing God. I can't even get to the first step. I can't even take the first step in this program unless I can be honest about my condition, unless I can get into acceptance about my condition. The first paragraph of chapter 5 in the big book, which is the how-to chapter, you know, this is how we do it. And it says in the first paragraph the word honesty 3 times. I think it's the only place in the big book where it uses a word 3 times in 1 paragraph. So honesty is where we start. We got to get real clear about what our condition is. I am powerless over food. My life is unmanageable. If I'm not clear about that, then I can't get honest about my food and I can't get honest about going on and working the steps. So one of the things I want to tell you, because this is also like, okay, this is a message of hope, right? So I'm telling you how powerless everything is and how miserable we are and how broken we are. But if you had told me 5.5 years ago, standing as I was, obese, swollen, close to divorce, I was in a really bad way with my husband, my children who had turned 5 years old the day before I joined OA were afraid of me. They were afraid of my rage. I was a rageful, resentful, horrible person in my household. And I didn't even know it. If you would have told me 5 and a half years ago, I'd be 80 pounds lighter. My children would adore me and couldn't wait to fling their little bodies, that are 11 now, their big bodies, onto me and hug me and wake up at 5 in the morning so they could say goodbye to me this morning. You know, things like that. My husband and I have a vulnerable, open, connected relationship. Holy crap, he's not even in program and he talks about higher power. He listens to me on the phone when I'm with sponsees and then he'll say, oh, I think I have to do an amend. You know, I mean, he's not even program. And this is the magic of the program. And if you would have told me 5.5 years ago, this would be my life today and I would be out speaking and I would be flying to Rochester and doing a talk for a group there. I mean, oh my God, this is a miracle. And you can have it. Everyone in this room can have it. I'm nothing special. I'm just another bozo on the bus. I'm just taking the steps like everybody else. I just have a commitment. I have a commitment to my abstinence and being honest about my abstinence. And I have a commitment to working the steps as outlined in this big book. For the first 3 years, I didn't. I was doing a group, a diet with group support. I was going to meetings. I was going to, I had a sponsor, and I had several sponsors in a row. I was losing the weight. I created my abstinence. I created God, because that's what they said. Figure out what you want to be abstinent to and pick a God. And I was still in charge. You know, I didn't realize it for a long time because I was losing the weight. And I was going to meetings 6 days a week. And I was kind of like the poster child. You know, I'm slimming down. I'm looking good. I'm in every meeting. I know everybody in Northern Colorado. But all of a sudden, 2.5 years in, out of the blue, I relapsed. I was in my ninth step. I relapsed. And I gained 35 pounds. What? I'm doing this deal. I rested on my laurels. I didn't get through my ninth step. But really the problem was I didn't get through my second step because I really didn't believe that I wasn't the power. I was the power still. I was managing my food. I was not hiring a professional to tell me, you know, what kind of business do I have making up my food plan? I'm a compulsive overeater. That's not going to work for me. So I finally hired a professional to say, here's how many starches you need, and here's how many proteins, and here's... And then she gave me a food plan, and I followed it. And it had all the things we needed, and we met every couple of days until it was down. That was surrender, because that scared the crap out of me. I thought I was going to starve to death when I had a professional tell me what to eat. I went to bed every night going, I don't think I'm going to make it till morning. I better say goodbye to my family tonight because I'm going to die. And we can laugh about it, but that's how I felt. I really had that feeling inside. I'm not going to make it if somebody else tells me what I should be eating for my size and shape, etc. And then when I did that and I let go and I gave that to higher power and I surrendered it, I am telling you, the very next day, I felt safe. I felt safe because I didn't have to say, did I eat enough? Am I going to make it to the next meal? Did I not eat enough? Did I eat too much? Am I going to gain weight? Am I going to still lose weight? I need more weight to lose. I had all this noise going on inside my head. And I didn't have that anymore. All the noise was gone because a professional gave me my food plan. So that I could then get clarity. I had my red list, and don't tell me there's such thing as a yellow list. A yellow list is nothing more than, I'm going to eat this stuff and be in charge, because I really can't eat it. There's no yellow list. There's a red list and a green list. I can eat it or I can't. It either causes me to have, it either causes me to want to eat more of it or it doesn't. And when you get to food neutrality, which I got to, you find out, oh my gosh, this is so much different than white knuckling. You know, I have food neutrality now. I don't eat anything that triggers me anymore. And it's so freeing and it's so safe. So I had to get to the place where I could differentiate me being the power versus something else being the power. There is a power, and if it's me, then it's self-reliance, self-will, and control. And I'm going to control everything outside of me because if I make you and my husband and my children and everybody else do something, it gives me ease and comfort if I'm in charge. So I'm always going to be looking to control somebody else. That's me in charge. That's me as the power. And it's an epic failure, as my 11-year-old would say. Mom, that's an epic failure. You know, you can't be in charge. And so I have to differentiate. I got to find the power that is not me. And, you know, this is a spiritual program. It's not a religious program. I use the word God because it's short and easy to say. But as I said in the beginning, I crossed out God in my big book because I had such a broken an upbringing around God that was given to me. And I didn't really have a relationship with God. I just had my religion. This is a spiritual program, and I had to find my God. And that's what we all get to do. And we don't create God. That's what I did for the first 3 years. Oh, this is God. God in a box. This is what God is, and this is what God isn't. And that's how I went through my first years, me in charge of what God is and isn't. And then I finally had to find God. I had to be willing to have the experience of God. Not the thinking about God, but the experience. How can I sit in not knowing? Just not knowing. That's my definition of the third step. I don't know. I just don't know. If I can be in unknowingness about God, then I can allow God to come into my experience. And then I don't have to know. And I still don't know. And the further I get down in recovery, the less I know about God. But the more I experience God. God is huge. My sponsor used to say, your God's not big enough. Your God's not big enough. After my second relapse at the ninth step, because I didn't have any humility, you know, I missed the seventh step. And I got to nine and had to go make some amends, and I had no humility. I'm like, what seven steps? Is that something about humility? Are you kidding me? No, I didn't have any humility. Two times in 3 years, get to the ninth step, no humility. Relapse again. Because I didn't have God. I didn't have an experience of being safe with a higher power of my understanding. Not of my choice or my design, but of my understanding. And I get that higher power of my understanding by spending time with it. By spending time every day with it. And asking it to be in me. To take over my body. To come in and show me how it's going to go. Show me how it's going to be. And then that's surrender. So this topic this weekend of acceptance, this is so funny because, you know, I always pick my own topics to talk about. So I was given this topic and I'm like, okay, I don't really think that much about acceptance. I think I do it, but, you know, I'm like, all right, God, lay it on me. Whatever we're going to do, I'm ready. Let's go. And so what has to happen to us is we have to be able to share our experience, strength, and hope, right? Well, our experience is our pain, right? It's our story. So I know about this about a month ago. So what do I get every day for the last month? I get examples shown to me by higher power of every way that I am not in acceptance. Every single day. And the control freak coming up and the shift, the rage inside of me and running off and doing 10 steps all the time. I'm just hacked off at my husband. He's not being the person I need him to be. And the house isn't clean. And, you know, all this stuff. Be careful what you ask for, right? Want to do a talk on acceptance. Okay. Wow. I had to hit a new bottom. Like, there are so many things that I still just don't accept. And it's okay. That's the process. That's the practice we go through. We practice every day, every bit of this program. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's above anybody. Nobody's got it more than anybody. I got it one day at a time, contingent upon the maintenance of my spiritual condition. It's right in this book. I am recovered today only. And that's only if I keep God in my life all day. So, the first thing that I had to look at in this upset was my beliefs. So we all have core beliefs that we hang on to. And there's a whole bunch that I've been able to surrender over the years, but I still have these core beliefs that are unconscious, that just are inside of me, and no matter how hard I think or figure them out, there's nothing I can do to get rid of them. Because self cannot help self. That's all in my mind. My mind cannot make me surrender. My mind cannot make me help myself because my mind is where my disease is. It has to be engaged with my heart. So some of my unconscious things are, I don't matter. I won't be supported. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm always going to be in trouble. I'm going to screw it up. I have to be the perfect mom. I have to be the perfect spiritual person. I have to be the perfect realtor and wife and sponsor. I have to be perfect. And even if I'm doing a really good job about it, in this core belief system I have, I still am not doing enough. Because we have a disease. Nothing is enough. Nothing will ever be enough. I always want more. More from you, more from myself, more from the world, more from life. So it's all tied up in fear. My core belief is tied up in fear. I'm not going to get something I think I need, or I'm going to lose something that I've got. And I resist and resist and resist. I resist in my mind. I resist the control piece. If I just work hard enough to control things, if I get these people to do what I want them to do, and if the situation gets changed, if I get control of my food, then everything's going to be fine. And I'll regain control of my life. So, in that time before I got the big book and the steps and entire abstinence, I wasn't happy, joyous, and free. And I was walking around, white-knuckling a little bit. It was a lot better than it had been. So for 3 years, I thought I was recovered, and I thought I was doing better, and I lost the weight and all that. But I wasn't free. And then I relapsed. Then I gained the weight back. And I only got to the humility and the real surrender when I was able to accept that I'm a broken person, and that without the food to medicate me, I'm a rageaholic, and with the food to medicate me, I'm still a rageaholic. Without treatment, and the treatment is the 12 steps, then I wasn't able to hit the bottom that I needed to hit. I have to hit the bottom. It has to hit hard. Bill Wilson had to do it over and over and over until he finally let go of control. And he hit bottom, and he found humility. And in that humility, he found God. He found surrender, because it has to be in our heart. I can stand around all day long with my thoughts. You know, I get into a calamity, and I go, okay, God, I surrender. All right, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I know I got to surrender. I got to surrender. What good does that do me? It's just thinking it. It's thinking it. It's pushing it. And I can't make myself surrender. Self cannot help self. I have to hit bottom. I have to accept my condition that I'm broken. I have to gain humility, and I got to let go. So I want to read a couple of paragraphs out of this book, which is not approved literature, but I was given permission to read it. So what does it mean to play God? It means living under the delusion that life is controllable. It means constantly struggling to maintain the illusion that you are controlling it. It means lying to yourself all day, every day, insisting that with enough effort, you can get life to do whatever it is you want it to do. It means having to mask your failure at controlling life by blaming others. Your parents, your spouse, your partner, your children, your colleagues, your friends, for your failure. And it goes on to say the real disease from which most of us suffer is the disease of playing God, of thinking that we are or should be in control of what happens to us in life. As long as you maintain the illusion of control, you're fine. But eventually and inevitably, life slips out of control and you are faced with a very difficult choice. Either quit playing God and abandon the delusion of life's controllability, or find some way to escape reality and maintain the illusion that you are in control. And that's why I use food, to maintain the illusion that I'm in control. And when I let go of the food, all those control issues come back up. And I can manage it with my self-will for so long, and then I'm going to relapse, until I have a relationship with this power that is not me. And the big book also talks about this on page 61, where it says the first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. We will always be in collision with someone, even though our motives are good. We might even be kind and virtuous in our attempts to control. And so I know that my way is better. I know that. I am self-righteous. I am superior. I'm a know-it-all. I know that my way is better. But, you know, I get confused because, you know, sometimes my way is better. And so why shouldn't I be helping? My motives are good with my kids and my husband. I have a better way to do this. Let's do it my way. Well, that's not surrender. I want them to have a good and happy life, and my motives are good. But I believe the lie that I know best. I do not know best for anyone, let alone myself. I mean, I already know I don't know best for myself. But I don't have any right to control anyone else. And what a lot of us do is we submit rather than surrender. We go, okay, this is a temporary thing. I'm going to get a grip on my food. I'm going to get a grip on my weight. And I'm going to regain the control of my life. And that's submission. It's not surrender. Surrender is in your heart. So I want to tell you a story about my life, because I am the mother of 11-year-old twins, and I'm married still, thank you God. And my husband is a stay-at-home dad. All three of the boys in my life have ADD. I am disciplined and orderly, and of course opposites attract, you know. So my husband's creative and artistic, and I'm disciplined and stern. And he runs the household. And he doesn't do it the way I would do it. And, you know, I thought I could fix him. So he has been, you know, our first 10 years together, you know, I've been controlling, raging, screaming, whatever. We were only married for a few years before we had the kids. So then, you know, I'm just a total whack job. And in the past, that's how I was. That's how I acted out in my disease. Controlling, raging. What can you just do it my way? You know? I would, and I'd used everything. You know, the whining. I have to bring in all the money. I work 7 days a week. I work so hard. And you don't even clean the house the way I want it cleaned. Or the kids didn't get baths and I got to give them baths. And why can't you do something I want? You know? This is how I was. But when I realized through acceptance, through surrender, through working these 12 steps, and I'm so on the other side of this, and it's part of the reason we're not divorced, is there's three things that I've learned to accept. And in acceptance, I am grateful. I am wholehearted. This isn't submission. Okay, I'm going to tolerate this and accept it with my teeth gritted and seething. This is, I love my husband. And he's never going to do things right. He's never going to do things right because my expectations are unrealistic. I am unrealistic in what I want him to do because I want him to do everything perfectly so that my life has ease and comfort. I finally got that. That's my part. And he is challenged by ADD. He works hard to try to manage that. And he reads the magazines and he implements as best he can the tools to work with his ADD. But he'll never be the organized person that I am. That's just who I am. And that's just who he is. And my thinking that he should change is insane. It's insane. It's crazy. I love my husband, you know, and I finally got that. That's me. That's my part. And the third thing, my need for order and structure might have just a little something to do with my need for control. And guess what? That's my disease. That is my disease. My needing things to be orderly and structured is my need to fix, manage, and control everything outside of me, because in my heart, I'm not settled. I'm in resistance. I'm in my disease of I need more, more, more. Nothing is good enough. So it's my delusion. So one thing about acceptance is the only way I can get to surrender is to accept the pain of my condition. So when I'm in my head and I want to get to surrender, and I'm talking myself into it, and I'm talking to God, how come I don't feel better yet? How come I don't feel I surrendered? I did a ton of stuff. How come I'm not feeling better? Well, we mistake that surrender and feeling good or feeling relief, they're different. They're not the same thing. Because I surrender doesn't mean that I'm going to have relief. I surrender so that I can feel the pain of my condition and accept it and give it to God and let God do whatever it is that needs to be done. And usually it's teaching me something. about my part in it. Because if I'm uncomfortable, I've created it. If I'm not the problem, there is no solution. That's my new favorite slogan. I heard it on a call this year. And I say that to myself, I don't know, 100,000 times a day. If I'm not the problem, there is no solution. The problem exists between my ears. It's my perception of everything. If I am in a position where I say, ooh, something's got to change here. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. I don't always want to go there. I don't want to go to that level of surrender, but I have to go, I'm in discomfort. I'm agitated. I'm doubtful. I'm upset. And it's me. I don't want to say that, but if I say that and say, God, I'm helpless, I'm hopeless, I want to be in control, I want somebody to do something to give me ease and comfort, I know the problem is me. It's my perception of things. And we go up and down that roller coaster every day. Every day, I have stuff that comes up that upsets me. And that's why we have the pause. You know, in the big book it says we pause when agitated or doubtful. And sometimes if I'm standing in the kitchen and I feel that agitation, I got to stuff a sock in it and run into the bathroom and lock the door so I don't say something that I'm going to have to make an amend for. Because it's going to come out of my mouth and he's going to get it. So, you know, I've come a long way in not doing that. But it happens. Because we're on a roller coaster every day and we're getting triggered every day by somebody. And it's usually those people that are in our household that are closest to us. They are our teachers. My husband is my teacher. He is such a good teacher. He gives me so much to work on. And then sometimes the pause, you know, I get into the pause. And I'm agitated and I'm doubtful and I might do my 10th step and I might get to my part. But boy, I can hang on. I can hang on to that underlying stuff that I'm attached to, that I'm not good enough, I don't matter, I'm never going to be supported. I can hang on to that. And I got to stay in that pause until I'm ready to release that. I have been in the pause sometimes for 2 weeks. Just pissed off at him and just knowing I'm in the pause and just like anxious to be out of the pause and not giving it up, not surrendering, not looking at my part, not willing to examine what my part is and just going, okay, God, I know I'm in the pause. So how much time do we have? Okay, we got 10 or 15 minutes and I want to leave some time for questions, so I'm just going to okay, good. So I just want to wrap it up, and then we'll have about 5 or 10 minutes of questions. I need this spiritual solution, or I'm going to eat. Okay? Food's going to become the solution. So it's either food or God. So that's the gist of it. I accept the food as my solution or I accept a higher power as my solution. This isn't a religious program. If you're stuck on the whole God thing, I get it. So was I. Oh, man. And I had, and God, one of my first sponsees I got, was an atheist. I had to figure out how to help an atheist find higher power. And it happens. It works. It works. So don't be afraid of that. And finally, my primary purpose in my life now is to carry this message. This is amazing. Like, to be able to have that purpose. I hated sponsoring before. I hated everything. I was so resentful. And now all I want to do is get out and shout the good news. We all can have it. We all can have all of it and more. God is so big, way bigger than I thought. Higher power is there for the taking all the time. When higher power or God isn't showing up for me, guess what? I shut the door. I shut the door and went down the road and picked up my self-reliance and self-will. And as soon as I put that down, God is available. Always. And there was one thing I wanted to wrap up with, and Oh, and that is my last story. I got all the promises, the 9-step promises in the book, but there was one, that one on financial security. I just wouldn't let go of it. I'm self-employed. I'm the income, the sole income from our fit for our family. And I have kids. I got to save for college. I'm 59-year-old, and I got 11-year-olds, and I got to get some money for college. And, you know, I'm scared about money. And finally, in January of 2016, I'm like, all right, God, I was already starting to, you know, carry the message. And I really wanted to carry the message. And so I'm getting lots of sponsees and lots of invitations to speak. And my work is suffering, and I'm not bringing in money. And I just said, okay, I'm going to stop doing marketing. I'm just going to give it to you. When the phone rings, I'll answer it. If it's work, I'll do the work. If it's program, I'll do the program. And I've had the 3 best years of income in my entire career. Hello, just surrender. That's all I got to say. Accept your condition. We are all broken, and there's nothing wrong with it. We're broken. We're weak. We want to control everything. And if we accept that, it's only through acceptance can we get to surrender and giving it all to our higher power. So, thank you for allowing me to share. Let's have some questions. Does anybody have any questions or anything that they wrote down and said, what did she mean by that? Yes.
Is not doing what they should be doing because you know that, and they're just not up to par. And repeat the question. How do you make them be up to par?
Okay, so when that person isn't doing what you know is right, sometimes I'm right. I know what's right here in this situation, and they are not complying with my wishes and doing what I think they should do. So what do, right? That's the question. So what do? Well, first of all, if I'm not the problem, there is no solution. The reason they're not doing what I think they should be doing is because it's their life. It's none of my business. Even if it's my kids, it's their life. They have to make their own mistakes. I had to make my own mistakes. And I don't have control. And so I have to look to myself. I have to go inward and say, if I'm not the problem, there's no solution. What's the problem? My perception of things. Okay, what is my perception? My perception is that person should be doing X, Y, and Z. Why do I need them to do that? Because it's going to give me ease and comfort. I may not know that right away, but that's what I want. It's going to make me feel better if they do what I think they should do. And that's just a lie. Okay, God, how am I lying to myself here? I'm lying to myself because what if it doesn't happen? Am I going to die? Why am I letting my head get all tripped up inside of this? I got to manage everything to my expectations. Let them make their mistakes. You know? Okay, so my kids don't pick up all their crap and they live in a pigsty in their bedrooms. And I want them to pick up their stuff. They're going to learn their lessons. Am I a bad mother? I might think I'm a bad mother. I might have a lot of shame around that. I might have other people's judgments that I worry about. That is still my problem. That's still between my ears. That's still my perception. Why the hell do I care about what you think of me? Or anybody thinks of me? It always says something about me. Everything says something about me. If I can walk around and say, if I'm not the problem, there is no solution. So, how am I the problem? And then I pull out my 6-step list of character defects. I have bookmarks that are laminated with all my character defects on and my assets. But I look at them and I go, okay, here are my top character defects. Self-righteous. Am I being self-righteous? Am I the one who's right? Am I the only one who's right? I go through that list and go, how am I acting out in my thinking? Am I controlling? Am I judging them? Do I have expectations? These are all my character defects. And how am I acting out with my thinking that says I'm right and they're wrong? What if I'm wrong? God, help me. I know I must be wrong here, but I'm really attached to this need to control and to need the need to have an outcome. I'm under the delusion that I can make somebody do something I want them to do. I can't. I can't. And the minute I accept that truth is the minute I can start letting go and surrendering. Did that help? Another question?
Yes.
Wendy.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much. My name is Boulder Recovered. You said something to me once. Can I out myself that I'm responsive?
Yeah.
Oops, I just did that. I'm responsive. I really recommend it, by the way. So, you said something so profound to me recently. You said, not only are we going to accept your insecurity, but there's nothing wrong with your insecurity. That it's a deeper level of acceptance, right? Because I can go, oh, Marie, I'm insecure, and judge the hell out of myself for that and beat myself up and try to fix it because it's wrong. And you said, no, and there's nothing wrong. That's just who you are. And that depth of acceptance gave me so much serenity, so much freedom. I stopped fighting insecurity. My behavior changed because the lesson landed. And I just, I don't know if people heard that question, but I wish you'd speak to that. That's a deep, deep piece of acceptance of ourselves that is very healing.
Yeah, we are really hardest on ourselves. We are self-loathing, we are self-judging, we are self-critical. We're no harder on anybody else than we are on ourselves. We are completely our worst enemy. And so when we go, okay, I accept it, in my head I accept that I'm this or that or whatever. But until we get into our heart, until we get to the bottom, until we hit bottom and we're broken, wow, I am self-righteous. I say that flippantly, but I feel that at depth. I am a self-righteous, controlling, judgmental person. And it's okay. It's okay. That's who I am. I accept who I am. I have assets. I have defects. Every day I'm surrendering my defects to God, but I am under no illusion that I'm going to be like God, that I am going to be perfect every day. They're going to come up, and I have to go, yep, ugh. There it is again. But I don't have to say, oh, you stupid biatche. You know, I don't have to say, you got to stop this. I don't have to resist it and fight it. It just is what it is. And one day at a time, God, take this from me. Stuff a sock in my pie hole and put me in the bathroom and make me sit on the side of the tub and write a 10th step and call somebody and own it and say, yeah, I'm broken. I'm broken and I'm trying to manage other people. And I'm trying to control. And I'm broken. And there's nothing wrong with it. We are who we are. We are human beings doing our best to have a spiritual experience. And, you know, I figure I'm about 50% surrendered and spiritual a day. And I am damn proud of that. And the other times, I'm self-righteous and controlling and judgmental. And if I'm lucky enough, I'm in the bathroom with a sock in my mouth. So I'm not acting out on it. I still use the steps to act out on those times that they come up, that comes up. Are we done? Okay. We are finished, and I am so grateful to be here, and I'm so grateful to be able to serve. Thank you.